Hello everybody and welcome to the Magical Learning Podcast for this week. This week we're talking about learning to love reading again. This is a really fun topic. We all had a blast with it. It's a very laugh out loud episode, so hope you enjoy and have a magical week. Hello everybody and welcome to the Magical Learning Podcast. If you're watching the video, I'm covering up Kanika just because we are all sharing one mic down in Melbourne today, so we've got to lean in.
Not because they're recently married.
Yeah.
That's not true.
So today we have a nice group in Melbourne. We've got Danette, Graham, Kanika and myself all on the one screen. And then we're also joined by Al and John, so that's amazing. We've got a full group in today. Today we're going to be talking about learning to love reading again. I thought we could go for a nice fun one. I know books are always something that Magical Learning loves to celebrate, so it's nice to have that. But I thought let's just start by going around and seeing how everyone's going. So let's start in this room. Kanika, how's your week been?
My week's been good. It's been one of my quieter weeks in the last couple of weeks. But it's been really nice. I've had a really lovely time. Thanks for asking.
Good one, good one. And Graham, how are you going this week?
Yeah, good. We've not long landed, well, arrived in Melbourne, but safe drive down, which was good. And we got to spend pretty much all week at home, which was nice.
Awesome. Well, that's a nice change after a lot of travelling around. If people have followed the social media, they'll see the car journey that you guys did. If you haven't checked that out, go see that Google Maps image. It's massive. Danette, how are you going this week?
Yeah, I've had a great week as well. It's been nice to be home. We've had some rain and we got to take Gran out for Mother's Day last night. So that's my mum, for those of you who don't know who Gran is.
Awesome. Well, that's very nice. Alan, how are you going?
Yeah, going great. Thanks, Jez. We've had a bit of an indoor week. Our weather hasn't been sunny and 20 degrees for a change, which might surprise Graham, but yes, no, enjoying the change.
Love that. Well, good work, Al. And John, how are you going this week?
Yeah, good. We're definitely not 20 degrees either, Alan. It's a little bit cooler here in Canberra, being in the valley, but look, it's been a flat-out week and looking forward to a weekend and got 2 weeks of working from home after that, so it'll be good.
Awesome. Well, good to see you at home as well this time, John. It's always nice seeing the different backgrounds we get from you each week, so it's a good one this week.
You just drop your head down about 2.5 inches, you're just going to have this halo, that's it.
That's it. That is so me, angelic.
Don't move.
If you are listening to this, definitely get on the video for this podcast. Some good visual gags going on. Awesome. Well, today we're doing, like I said, a little bit of a lighter one today, which is learning to love reading again. And this was inspired by, Danette, you made a video book review that was kind of about focus, but it was a book and yes. It touched on people's, I guess, length of ability to focus now. Mm-hmm. And I thought that could be interesting to talk about just reading, because I think it's something that everyone used to do at some point, and then now they may not be doing it as much, and they might wonder why. So I might start with you, actually. What do you love about books? And you can even expand on that original point as well.
So maybe start with the original point. Yeah. Should I pull it over and that way I can look? That's probably easier. Yeah. So in the book, and it was called Stolen Focus, so the book review I did this week, and he was talking about the difference between reading books and how when we read a book, it's quite linear. So it encourages us to go in depth into what we are reading. And he was saying that's quite different from when we read online, where whether it's a book or we're looking at websites, etc., our brain tends to skip ahead and jump and things like that. So it struggles to focus as much than if you have just a book. And so for me, in terms of what do I love about books and everything else, it opened a world up for me when I was very young. I was very blessed that my dad's mother taught me to read really young. So at 3, I was reading 4 books. And it just opened new worlds up. It gave me language. And if ever I had a problem or I didn't know how to solve something, there was always a book that gave me some ideas about what to do. And I still have that love to today. So, yeah. Thank you. Awesome. I love
that. Just some nice technical difficulties here. Thank you for that, Danette. That's a lovely answer, and thanks for that. And people can watch that book review at some point shortly. Graham, I'll throw to you. What do you love about books?
Great question. I think for me, part of it's just love of language. So I love the craft behind some writer's ability to shape words into a sentence, a phrase, a paragraph, or an entire book that just blows me away. It's like you read a passage and there's that instant, it's almost like a visceral sort of connection, and at the same time, I didn't know you could do that with words, sort of thing. So for me, and I still today, there are phrases from books that I read 20 or 30 years ago that are still crystal clear because they just resonated so strongly. So for me, a lot of it's just the language. I tend to get less probably engrossed in books today, and which is, I think, the stolen focus thing. So I actually, just reflecting on that, I don't necessarily lose myself in books as much at the moment as I have in the past, which is something I should fix. But yeah, just the language thing for me, very much.
Awesome. Thanks for that, Graham. Great answer as well. And I love that it's so different for both of you. That's really cool. Kanika, what do you love about books?
I obviously love language and the craft and everything that's involved, but I mostly love how immersive they can be and how you can really just feel transported. And I also like how they make you feel, how you can sort of like experience like a vast amount of emotions or a spectrum of emotion without really, it's like simulated emotion. So it's not your own, but it is somewhat being like given to you in a way, which I think is really nice. And like, obviously, like I said, world building, immersion, and like the emotion you can like simulate through it.
Awesome. Awesome. Great answer. I love that we're getting different stuff from everyone. It's so cool. So hopefully you're resonating with these a little bit. I'll throw to you, Alan. What do you love about books?
Interesting for me, Jez, the physical books, I love that I can put them on my desk and sit my laptop on top of them to gain height. And I am very grateful that we now have audio books because they are something that I find I do have time when I'm driving. And a big thing for me is mindfulness, where I used to drive, it's kind of going back to what we were talking about last week with that, you know, building self-esteem. I realized what I was hearing on the radio or my thoughts worrying about the thing, I would arrive to wherever I was going quite stressed and I guess feeling overwhelmed, where these days I know I can sit in a vehicle and I can listen to something for entertainment so I can arrive in a positive state, or even better still, you know, an hour trip is something where I can learn something new, which I'm absolutely loving.
Love that, Alan. Yeah, that's great. And that's another way to take it on as well. Audio is definitely a great way to listen. So I love that as well. And that observation about how you can change your mindset just by what you're reading / listening to is perfect. So thanks for that, Alan. John, I'll throw to you. What do you love about books?
I love the tactileness about them, that it's something physical, tangible that you've got. Like if I'm given the choice of listening to an audio book or reading online, or a physical book, I'll take the physical book every day of the week. And it's just something about that, you know, that medium that I enjoy. And then when you get reading a good book, you can get lost in it. So, you know, 5 minutes turns to 2 hours and you're going, yeah, I don't want to put this down. I want to hang on to it. I want to keep going. And suddenly you can lose a day just reading a book. And look, I'm not a voracious reader by any means. I'm not a big reader, but there have been times where that physical, just do not want to put it down because I'm loving the story, the language that's coming through, the descriptions that you can put in that you can't get into a movie as much as I try. But yeah, just what the description that can be in a story in a couple of pages is just amazing.
Yeah, love that. That's and so true about getting lost in books. Always a lovely experience when that happens. So that's awesome. Thanks, John. Well, let's jump onto question two, which is, what makes people struggle with reading? And I might actually start with you here, John. What makes people struggle with reading?
I remember as a kid, again, not a very big reader, and it was just not wanting to sit and focus on something. I get ability to read and all of that, but yeah, just sitting down and actually taking the time to read a book wasn't overly interesting. There's other things to do for me as a kid, and especially it was, you know, I'd prefer to be outside running around playing and doing stuff rather than sitting down reading a book and doing homework. You know, that was even worse, but that's a totally different story. It's that desire to wind down, I guess, is one thing that I think people struggle with, because everything's so immediate nowadays. You want to know, I want to know now, I want to know now. Or, you know, I can get online and I can get lost in Instagram or whatever. But yeah, it's the world slows down when you read a book, and that isn't necessarily what people want.
Yeah, love that, John. Thanks for that one. Alan, I'll throw to you. What makes people struggle with reading?
I really relate to what John was saying, Jez, where just sitting down for a long time, I just got really uncomfortable reading. And I guess that's what I love about audiobooks. You know, I can be mowing the lawn with my headphones on and I'm still out and about enjoying, I guess, that mobility, as opposed to noticing that my neck's getting kinked. Yeah. Oh, thanks, Jez.
That's all right. Yeah, thank you, Alan. Yeah, I like that as well. The physical side of it, which I don't really think about that much with books, but fair enough.
Actually, Jez, another thing that I forgot to mention there was, I only learned recently that I'm more of an auditory person than a visual. And that was a big one for me. When I heard that, I realised why I like to listen as opposed to, you know, read the book, where it's more a visual.
And that may be helpful for people that are podcast listeners to this podcast. Maybe, you know, that could be a tip for these people. If they like audio, then audiobooks could be a good way as well. Yeah. So thanks for that, Alan. Kanika, what makes people struggle with
I think specifically for me, I used to be like a voracious reader as a child, like constantly reading. It led me to do a master's in creative writing and literature. My whole life is based around books, essentially. But I think what I struggle with is, if I want to read something, I want to be able to get fully immersed in it, but I don't have that kind of time. Like, I don't have the kind of time to, like, start reading and just, like, read for 10 minutes and then, like, stop. I really, like, enjoy reading for long periods of time, or like not kind of having a dead, like not going like, okay, now I have to stop because I have to go do this. It's like watching a TV show or something to a certain extent. Like, you wouldn't watch a TV show for 20 minutes, like in between like a work day, you know, because like for me, it's a recreational activity to do. And yeah, so I feel like when I don't really have, like when I'm not on holiday, I really struggle to read. So that's how I feel.
totally. Yeah, and that's a good point as well. It does take time. So yeah, good one. Thanks, Kano. Graham, what makes people struggle with reading?
It's potentially so many things. I wanted to just sort of circle back to one of the things that John mentioned about when... You know, when we get immersed in a book, the world slows down, and that's really hard for a lot of us to consider. And it sort of also sort of goes back to what Kanika talked about in being able to sort of allocate the time, knowing that there are so many other things going on. So I wonder whether for some of us it's just a perception that, oh well, if I want to read a book, I need to have, you know, half a day or 3 or 4 hours spare, or I just need to have a big chunk of time spare. And also acknowledge that to really get into a book, sometimes you actually do need that uninterrupted time. So you know, one of the things I think is a perception of time. The idea that the world slows down, or the world has to slow down for us to be able to immerse ourselves in a book, is true. But at the same time, I was thinking, yeah, but sometimes when you read a book, your world, like inside the book, speeds up. If you think of a book that you've read, like a page turner that just doesn't stop, it's like the rest of the world disappears around you. But when you're immersed in the book, Which is a whole different thing. Anyway, so that was one. And the other one I've now forgotten about because that answer just went on for way too long. I think the bigger thing is probably just, again, the story that we tell ourselves about needing lots of time.
Awesome. Yeah, thanks for that, Graham. Good answer. And I love also that we've just had so many different perspectives on this. It's so interesting to find why people may struggle. So love that. Danette, what makes people struggle to read?
So it sort of comes back to what John was talking about and Al as well, in terms of your experience when you're young. So if perhaps you had someone who criticised you, said, you know, you're pretty crap at English for argument's sake. I once had a student who in his 40s said, I can't write. And I said, why can't you write? Oh, because my first grade teacher told me that I couldn't spell. And he'd never questioned that. And then I questioned that. And then he started writing essays. And I think there's been a lot of kids as well who perhaps the book that was assigned to them was not one they enjoyed, or, you know, they tried to read it and perhaps they were laughed at, etc. So it was not a positive experience to start off with. So therefore it's like, I'm going to avoid that at all costs because it doesn't feel good. And I think it's, if that is you, question that. And, you know, it doesn't have to be a tangible book. It could be, as Al was talking about, you know, listening to it to start to find those things that you really love and enjoy, because it does open up whole new worlds. But, you know, for some people that wasn't a pleasant experience when they were young, so I can understand that. Great question.
I just remembered the other one I was going to say. Perfect. I read it in a book once. I actually did. One of the best things I ever read, one of the most refreshing things I ever read in a book, and this goes back to, you know, one of the things that stop us from reading books sometimes, is I used to have this idea in my head that if I started a book, I had to finish it. And I read in a book once, and it said in the book, you don't have to finish every book you start. And it's like, I mean, most people would probably think, yeah, well, I already knew that, but I didn't. Back then, every book I started, I had to finish. And I started on a trilogy. Luckily, it was only three parts. Thank you, Douglas Adams. And I'd got halfway through the first book, and it had taken me 6 months to get 114 pages. Normally, it would take me 6 hours tops. Yep. But it had taken me like 6 months to get 114 pages in. And it was just, it was painful. And then I started reading this other book because I didn't like that one. And this other book, so you don't have to finish. Oh, hallelujah. So I just sold them.
Great. Yeah, that's actually a great tip as well, Graham, because I feel like sometimes that can be something that I also get hung up on, where I feel like I can't start another one till I get through this one. Yeah. And I think it's totally fine. I agree. It's a good idea to just drop them if they're not working. So yeah, thanks for that. All right, well, let's jump on to our last question, which is, what are some tips for people to get back into reading? And I might start with you here, Danette.
Cool. So one of my favourite ones is create a beautiful space where you can read. So we've got two at the farm. We've got out on the front veranda, we've got, which is on the northern side of our house. So in winter, we can sit out there, the sun's streaming in. We're surrounded by books because there's books all around our veranda. So that, having that beautiful, comfortable space where you actually want to go and be. And the other one is our hammock. So, you know, if you want to get outside and read and a bit of movement, a hammock's a really good one. So I think create a space where you want to read and it brings you back. It's a nice nook. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, love that tip. That's so fun. And it's totally not what I was thinking an answer would be for this, but I love it. So thanks for that, Danette. Graham, what are some tips for getting people back into reading?
For me, one would be just start with a topic that you are interested in. So don't set, you know, silly benchmarks about having to read a 5,000-page book on a topic that you have no interest in whatsoever. Start small and start with something that you already enjoy learning about or rereading. And, you know, I'd even go as far as to say, if you already have a book somewhere that you read once upon a time and you really liked it, then read it again. Mm-hmm. Just start. But make it easier on your brain by engaging around some content that you enjoy.
Nice.
Yeah, great suggestion, Graham. Love that, love that. Awesome. Kanika, what are some tips for getting people back into reading?
I think again, what Graham said, obviously, and I think to just build off of that, if there's a film you really like that was a book, you can go back and read the book that the film was based off of. Read things that you read as a child that made you momentarily think you enjoy reading. Because I personally struggle with reading in the sense that I feel like I have to read a lot of like highbrow literary stuff because of the spaces that I am in around, that surround literature. And some of it is good, but some of it is very, very boring and very, very dry. And it's like writing for writers more than just like writing for just like the masses. And I kind of have decided to like now just read things that make me happy and I find silly and enjoy. And so I kind of like also have a system, like one for me, one for like the world kind of a thing. And again, if you don't like a book, just stop reading it. It's fine. You don't even have to tell people.
Just put it back on the bookshelf.
Yeah, no one needs to know.
Is that true?
Yeah. You don't need to tell anyone.
hungry caterpillar.
Awesome. Well, yeah, great tips. Thank you, everyone. I might throw to Alan. What are some tips for getting people back into reading?
I really love what Kanika said then about just reading a book because it's silly. I did get back into reading again, because like might have been what Danette said, at school I remember having to read How to Kill a Mockingbird. And when this topic came up, that was the thing that came to my mind. I thought, why would you do that to anyone? And then when I did get into audiobooks, I only listened to educational ones. And I think it might have been Graham who said, have you ever tried just listening to a book for fun? And yeah, that was one of the best pieces of advice I had along the way.
Yeah, that's a really good point as well. Yeah, just like you are allowed to just to sometimes enjoy what you're reading. Sometimes it's surprisingly easy to forget that, I think. But yeah, great tip. And John, what are some tips for getting people back into reading?
I think you have a look at, like, you don't have to start with War and Peace. I remember one of the greatest books that I read, and series of books, was Asterix and Obelix, and they were cartoons. And it taught me a lot about the Roman Empire and the Gauls and what went on and how you eat boars and you drink magic potion. And, you know, it was a fun book. As a parent, I started reading a series, well, the first book in a series called Skullduggery Pleasant. And it's a teenage book. I've got every single copy, every single series. I've got the whole series. Kids don't read them. I read them, and I've reread them over and over and over again. And there are other books that I'm, you know, a couple of books that I'm reading at the moment. One's a Dave Grohl one and one's something else, but I'm skipping through bits. So that permission, you know, I haven't quite given myself permission not to read them, but, you know, okay, don't need to read that. Yeah, skip that. Yeah, where is he up to? Oh, he's here now. Okay, Nirvana, right? Yeah, let's talk about that. And you skip through bits because there's a lot of, in this, not the Dave Grohl one, Dave Grohl's brilliant. Dave, if you're listening, I love your work. But this other book, there's a lot of fluff in there that I don't really care about. So allowing myself to skip over stuff and move forward. Yeah, there are a couple of tips.
Yeah, I love that. I love that, John. And I think that's a good way to get through a book that you might otherwise stop yourself on if you aren't going to skip through.
Yeah.
You might go, I'm just never going to get to the parts I like about this. So if you already know, if it's especially with an autobiography, we have a loose idea of this person's life. I think that's also a good one. So yeah, awesome. Thank you for that, John. Well, we'll stay with you, John, because let's wrap up here. Just on the topic of learning to love reading again, what are your final thoughts?
Look, start. You know, pick up a book. If you don't like it, as Kanika said, swap it out for something else and try something else and try something else. And even if it's going back to the Asterix and Obelix, the simple ones, or a Spider-Man comic or a Batman comic, start with the comics. You know, start with the childhood stuff that you remember that you enjoyed. You know, there's some good tip. And Kanika's tip of if there's a movie you love, find the book. I think that's brilliant.
Awesome. Thanks for that, John. Love that. Alan, I'll throw to you. Any final thoughts on learning to love reading again?
Yeah, my simple takeaway from today, Jez, is make it fun. I love, like, when Kanika said, you know, a silly book, and I've got the picture of Danette's hammock out in the yard on a sunny day. That's something I want to do.
Love that.
You're going to have to push Danette off.
we can discuss a rental agreement now.
Yeah, I love it. Awesome, awesome. Kanika, final thoughts on learning to love reading again?
For me personally, something I've really done to get back into reading after like a short dry spell or like where I've just felt like I'm not enjoying it as much as I once used to, I read a lot of young adult fiction because that's really fun. It's really visceral in its emotion, but at the same time, it feels really like non-consequential to real life, but it's still kind of, for me personally, it takes me back to you, like when you were like a teen and everything was so heightened and everything is so like, it just feels like everything has to happen now. And like that kind of excitement, like I said, like you can manufacture a certain type of emotion based on what you read, which is also a really fun thing to do. So definitely maybe try some books for young adults, and I can vouch for the hammock. I have read a graphic novel over there a couple of Christmases ago, one afternoon. It was really nice. And like I said, it's basically a comic that I was reading. And also now it's being turned into a show. So that's really exciting.
Yeah. Awesome.
Sorry, Al, you're now number 4 in the queue.
Got to be quick.
Damn it.
Awesome. Well, Graham, just staying with you. Final thoughts on learning to love reading again.
I like John's point about just start. Find your why too. So if you're doing it because somebody else is telling you that you should be doing it, then that's not a great reason. So I'd probably stop and just ponder, well, why do I want to start reading again? And if you can't find an answer to that, then maybe find someone to have a conversation with about it. But if you can find a why, I think that's great. And then, as John said, I think just start.
Awesome. Yeah, thanks so much for that, Graham. And yeah, I think that's a good point. Why do you want to start reading? Good thinking. All right, Danette, rounded us out today. What is your final thoughts on learning to love reading again?
Okay, so I like the idea of the multiple books. So you're able to basically go, okay, what do I feel like today? And I think if you are not enjoying something, then, you know, you don't need to stick with it. And maybe there's someone you know or someone you can give that book to that would really find and get something out of it. So, you know, if you're not enjoying, give it away. The other thing that came out of the Stolen Focus that I really liked about books and why it's so important to encourage our kids to read as well is that we get into the state that the characters are in. So we start to develop our emotional intelligence skills based on what we learn. So it allows, they've worked out that that actually improves our emotional intelligence because we're getting into those sort of same emotions, and that allows us to go, oh, that's why they're doing that, or I think that's what they're feeling. So actually that's a really, like, a good side benefit of reading as well. Yeah, so that's mine. Great topic, Jess. Obviously, I love to read, so it's an awesome topic.
Well, I want to thank everyone so much for the call today. I love, once again, I love all the different perspectives and everything, so that's been really good. And I really came into this one just wanting to really hear everyone's thoughts, to be honest. So this has just been such a good one, and I think it's going to inspire me to look at reading a little bit differently. So thank you all. Hopefully people that are listening are inspired to read. Obviously, if you want any suggestions, you can go to our YouTube page. We've got a lot of ML book club reviews, so you can have a look and see if there's anything in there that tickles you, or you can just go back and grab some Abelix and Obelix, Asterix and Obelix, and check those out. Once again, I want to thank everybody for sharing the show. It's been doing really well, so we want to thank everybody for that. And I'll be putting this up as a video podcast just because we had so many good video jokes in here. I want to thank everyone for being on the podcast again. Once again, another great one. So thank you all so much. And until next time, have a magical week, everybody.
Thank you, everyone.
Thanks, Jess. Thanks, all. Thanks, Charles.